Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. This is A Wonderful Approach and a Wonderful Wednesday. It has been a journey, and every Wednesday is a journey. And that's one of the reasons I'm so glad to be doing the show on Wednesdays. On Wednesdays, there's very special spiritual devotion days for me. And there's no better way to wind up a day of devotion and spiritual practice than to come together, share with one another, make prayer with one another, encourage each other. Sometimes we even kind of shake our finger and stomp our feet at each other. But no matter what, we are gathered like family, and we come to help each other on this journey of life. Wednesday always has its share of challenges. And last week was a perfect example of them. Technical difficulties. I couldn't get my phone to do anything. A storm came through, and that was it. And I felt kind of like, oh, my goodness, what about poor angels out there? I hope everybody's okay. And everything was perfectly fine. And so I had to really kind of talk myself down and understand that 1 week is not going to make or break us. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully we have some more tools in our toolbox and have some more muscle to pull on than that. But last week's show, technical difficulties, and I'm just glad that everyone was patient with it and able to come back together this week. I absolutely adore doing the radio program. It's a highlight of my week and definitely a service in my Wednesdays, and so it comes with a lot of pleasure for me. Last week's show, of course, we weren't there, but the week before that, we were talking about positive methods for handling adversity. And this show came up, my sister, Unique, up in Charlotte, me and her, after really experiencing what I would call a rough transition into this new understanding. We kind of reached out to each other and was like, you know, this shift has taken us by storm. You know, what is this? What is that? And after doing some searching, we realized we were not the only ones. I had 10, 12 phone calls all in one day. Hey, what's going on? You know, hey, how are you feeling? And so that show, it was a wonderful show because we do have to be able to come together and encourage each other as we're going through these types of things. One big thing that I got from it, from the experience, was from the experience and from just working with the sister is learning how to be patient with the lesson. We have to become patient with the lesson because sometimes the lesson isn't necessarily about us. We would like to think it's about us, but it's not. We have to learn how to be graceful under fire. We have to learn how to share with our siblings, how to build, how to grow. And, you know, that was the big takeaway from me is learning how to be patient when handling adversity. And another thing that, you know, even after, because the shift was not an overnight shift, I felt that thing for about 2 weeks. And one big thing that I know that my guides were really, really trying to get me to understand is that God is always watching. And when I first heard that, I was like, you know, I know that. Okay. But then really I wanted to sit back and look at some of my behaviors and say, you know, okay, if God's always watching, is this the behavior you want him to see? Is this what you want to kind of go down on the record on how you handle the problem? Yeah, we can see the problem, but is your behavior that of, you know, who you are trying to be? And so I really had to stop and think about some things and try to find out if there was a better way to handle it. You know, this is where A Wonderful Approach comes from. It's really going that extra mile trying to find the best way to handle things. So, you know, after doing, you know, my own personal inventory, which I do on a regular basis, I was like, you know, okay, let's try this. Let's do that. Let me try to be a better person, even in the middle of the storm, because the storm's always going to be there in some form or another. So that was last week's show. We're going to get into this week's show. We're going to bring Mama Khadija in just a moment. But this week's show was spoken about almost right after the adversity show. I know Mama Khadija, the inspiration came from Mama Khadija this time. And she was like, you know, we spoke about, you know, how to handle, you know, positive methods for handling adversity. You know, but what are those words that get you going? You know, what are those comments? What are the, what's that motto? What's the meme? You know, whatever you're using to inspire you, what is that inspiration that keeps you going and keeps you firmly in place? And so that's how this particular show came about. And I was like, you know, we do need to go through that. I went through and took some notes. I hope everybody took some notes so that we can share with each other our own inspirational type tools. I know I always do the show with pen and paper because someone is always going to say something that I find ultra interesting and share this information and that information. So I am ready, as usual, to, you know, be educated, to be shared with, to be taught, to be worked with and have people working with me. This is definitely a collective of energies. This is not one person's stand-up show. You know me and Mama Khadija do a lot of the talking. This is 100% a family show, and it is for us to get together and to share. If you're interested in sharing with us, all you do have to do is press 1, and that lets me know at the switchboard that you'd like to speak. And then also, if you like the show or if there's a show that you wanted to catch up with, there's a Wonderful Approach Facebook page. And we go on the Facebook page and post old programs, make comments, you know, just continue the sharing process throughout the week. And we're going to be doing a lot more dialogue there too. So if you haven't liked the page and, you know, share a show if you're interested, and what that'll do is that'll allow your friends to kind of see the things that you do. You know, you never know who you may be inspiring or encouraging and by doing that. So that is where we are right now. I'm going to bring Mama Khadija in, see if I can get her line open. Greetings, Mama Khadija. Are you there?
Greetings, Seven. Greetings, family. Greetings. It has been a beautiful day, And you said
earlier,
something
Mama,
that
Khadija
I just
having phone trouble. So I,
yes.
We're going to be going back and forth with this. Hopefully she will pop back in with us in a little bit.
Oh, I'm not in?
And she'll let us know when she's ready to speak. But Mama Khadija, your mic is open when you get an opportunity. I'm going to start. And when we were talking about inspiring words and encouraging words, I know for me, there are moments where we all kind of have questions, have doubts, have concerns. And so as we're going through this process of life, there are definitely moments that we all need a little help. And I know for me, one of my particular moments, I was trying to get some feedback from my ancestors and just feeling like I was kind of out in the world for a second, like I didn't have enough grounding. I didn't have my strong rock with me. And it was a kind of like a lonely place for me. And my ancestors, who my mother spends a lot of time with, And my sister, who doesn't have any shrines whatsoever, but they, you can feel the love from ancestors with my middle sister, Aisha. Anyone who knows her knows that is true. But I was really just looking for something. I needed
something to kind of get me from where I was to where I needed to be. And the words that I heard so clearly, as sure as my name is Khadija, is be encouraged. And that set my life on another path, just those slight words right there, be encouraged. You know, my particular ancestry is they have overcome many obstacles, handicaps, social economics, education. No matter what it's been, they have overcame it with smiles, you know, almost made it look easy. And so for me to get those words, I was like, well, wait a minute, you know, am I doing this in the right spirit? And so I definitely had to kind of evaluate myself and reexamine and say, hey, is there a better way to do this? Do I need to change just my attitude? I didn't change any of my actions. You know, my actions were correct and exact. So what I needed to change was my attitude. I had to do things with more optimism. I had to do it with more love. I had to do it more for the sake of doing it, more than, you know, more than obligation. You know what I'm saying? More than just I have to do it. I had to change kind of like my purpose for doing the work. And it was definitely a life changer for me, because I was like, okay, just changing my attitude brought about a whole new awareness for me. And so that has been kind of like a benchmark for me as to how my ancestors communicate with me and how I know when my attitude needs adjusting. Sometimes you just need to change the way you are seeing things. So I'll hear that from time to time, just be encouraged, you know, put, you know, stiffen up, you know, fly straight, do what you have to do. And that changed me. It really helped to set my spiritual path where it is and get it good, hot, and blazing. So that was one of the quotes for me that I wanted to share. Hold on, let me see if I can get Mama Khadija, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
She has been having
okay. Can you hear me now?
Challenges all day. Greetings.
Greetings. Can you hear me?
Okay. So as she comes in, we'll allow her to come in when she gets in, and we're going to continue to go. And while we're waiting for her, of course, can't leave me out here by myself, family. I see you on the phone lines. Press one. Let me know that you're out there. Share with us what you want to share, the words that have set you up and put you on a good path. All right, hold on. I have a caller here. Hold on. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. This is Mama Khadija. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Okay, so I'm going to go over here. Greetings, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sister Seven, this is Melissa.
Can you hear me? 1619. Welcome.
Yep, you can't hear me? You can't hear me?
Greetings.
Sister Seven, can you hear me?
Okay, so my phone lines, I can see you. You've pressed one. I've opened up your mic, so when you get a chance, you know, join in, share, speak. Also,
hello?
Okay, Mama Khadija, I think they say that they can hear you. Am I correct?
I don't know if you can hear me. I can hear you, and I did hear Melissa come in. So, can you hear me now? It must be something with the switchboard because I heard Melissa loud and clear. I hear you loud and clear, but you can't hear us. Well, seeing how everyone can hear me, I just want to say greetings to the family. I hope everybody's week went well. I'm hoping we can, you know, get through these technical difficulties for the past 2 weeks. I had a wonderful week, except with the issues with the telephone that I had all day today. But Seven did say something about being patient with the lesson, and oh my goodness, being patient with my telephone situation just really was a challenge for me. Can you hear me, Seven?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, okay. I just greeted the family because I didn't know if they heard that first greeting. And I just wanted to kind of piggyback off of your being patient with the lesson. And that's exactly what it took for me to get through these telephone issues today was a lot of patience. And whispering a few prayers, but I also wanted to share with you that, let me see, you mentioned that some of your ancestors had to really work hard to get through certain challenges and handicaps and did it all with a smile. I just want to share something that your grandmother, my mother, said to me once upon a time. I might have been about 8 years old, and I had just learned the word handicap, and I mentioned it to her. My mother was paralyzed from her chest, her diaphragm down, when she had me. And I said something to her about being handicapped, and she said, oh, I never considered myself handicapped. I always thought that this was just a challenge. And, of course, at that time, I didn't really think that much about it. I couldn't how deeply could I think at 7 or 8 years old. But now that I look at her life and evaluate all the things that she was able to do from a wheelchair, I said, oh, my goodness, I see exactly what she meant. And, you know, I could go on and on and on about my mother. But she corrected me and says, no, I'm not handicapped. I'm challenged. And the way that I came to understand that as an adult was, you know, I got the things that other children got. All throughout my life, my mother was able to be an excellent mother, do a lot of different things, travel, go back to school, you know, college professor, the whole nine yards. And she wasn't handicapped. She was just challenged. She had to do things in a different way. So I just wanted to share that with you, Seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am growing up, and we're talking about, you know, encouraging. You told me a story once where I was, what, maybe kindergarten, maybe younger than kindergarten, and ever since I knew my grandmother, she was in a wheelchair. And you were introducing me to another student and his grandmother. And I was like, you're not no grandma. You don't have a wheelchair. You know, it had gotten to the point where, to me, I thought that was standard issue for grandmothers, you know. I never saw the hindrance. I mean, I couldn't wait to get in it and ride around, have a fun time. As a kid, you know, I'm always thinking about playing. And so to me, this was like a new toy. I never saw the handicap. I never felt it from her. You know, I never had to experience a feeling of doubt or less than or anything else. So 100%, when I hear the words be encouraged, it is about having that inspiration, having that positive attitude, putting your chin up and really looking and seeing that cap, that cup as half full and then a whole refrigerator full of juice. So not only is my cup, you know, I got plenty of juice in the cup, but I got a whole other refrigerator here. I have an unlimited source. So I think when it comes to being encouraged, that is how you have to see things, how you have to see life as a positive, as optimistically as you can. And not to say that life doesn't give you challenges, because it does. We've been experiencing challenges all radio program last week. And, you know, I'm fasting in 90-degree weather. You know, there's all kind of challenges out there, but that's all they have to be. You know, they don't have to be, you know, the end of the world. I don't have to drag around on Wednesday or be grumpy. I'm intentionally choosing to feel the sunshine as a beautiful thing and to let my life go and be happy and joyful and purposeful on this day. So that was my first quote, to be encouraged. Mama Khadija, did you have a first quote that you'd like to share with everyone?
Yeah. Yes, I just wanted to say, you know, basically what a quote is, something that someone says. It could be a sentence or it could be a phrase, usually spoken to reiterate a certain point, you know, to reinforce, you know, whatever idea it is that you're trying to portray. And sometimes that quote, that saying, that sentence or that phrase contains like a moral. This is the moral to the story. And sometimes it contains a warning. And I like both of them, but I especially like those mama quotes. So I'm hoping that when, you know, our audience will call in with a couple of their big mama quotes. But one of my favorite quotes, I don't know if it originated with her, but I'm a student of spirituality, and I, from time to time, have read Oprah's books, Iyanla's books, watched her show and whatever. And one thing that I really like that really hit home for me that she always says is, when people show you who they are, believe them. People show you who they are, believe them. And when someone does something that we might think is, like, terrible or even a little out of character, the first thing we say is, I can't believe him. I can't believe her. I can't believe this. She says, when people show you who they are, believe it. Most people are not going to lie on themselves. Let their behavior speak for them. So as they're speaking to you through their behavior, you got to believe that. Believe it. So we can stop being so, I don't know what the word is, but surprised and saying, I just can't believe this. More than likely, there have been other red flags, you know, that have been seen, if not by you, by other people. A lot of times people will say, well, you know, I didn't even see this coming. That's because you weren't looking for it.
Right. Or maybe you had your eyes closed.
Had your eyes closed. Had your head in the sand. There are all kinds of reasons why you didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
But there were telltale signs. So please believe people when they show you and tell you who they are. So that's one of my favorites, and I've used that so many times in working with the women in the women's program that we do at Mother Eagle Ministries, because so many times the response to a certain thing is, I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. But if you backtrack, more than likely you'll see there were signs. Believe them. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. And I would
that's
love
a heavy
to
hitter.
Share
that's a heavy hitter.
Another one. Well, I mean, if the audience, family, if you have a comment to make about that, if you've had an experience where, you know, you were kind of thrown off or caught off guard or surprised by someone's behavior, you can definitely comment on that quote. That is definitely something that I would love to get some feedback from. But another one of my favorite quotes, we have time for another one?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is one that I have recently seen on Facebook. In working with women and doing the counseling and the coaching that I do, one of the very important things that I tell people is that time doesn't change anything. Time's not going to change anything, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that leads us right into this next quote. Your life does not get better by chance. It gets better by change.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make a change.
Got to make a change.
Time is going to make your life better. It's not going to happen by chance. It's not going to happen by you thinking about it or wishing for it or whatever. It's only going to get better by change. So you have to put forth some effort. You have to do the work. If you want your life to get better, you got to put in the work. It's not going to happen miraculously.
I wish it did.
That's another one of my favorites. Yeah, I wish we had a magic wand, but, unfortunately,
we don't. It takes hard work.
It takes courage. Yes.
Ooh, it takes some courage. You got to be strong on some things. Well, I want to bring my sister back on the line, if I can. When we have phone difficulties, I missed it earlier. Welcome to the show. Greetings, sister. Can you hear me?
Melissa's going. Is that Melissa?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had myself on mute. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
No worries. Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so good. So I wanted to touch on just a couple of things. I was trying to interrupt earlier to let you know that we could hear her, but that was what I was trying to do earlier. But in the beginning, when you said adjust your attitude, and when Mama Khadijah said when you were talking on the first Big Mama saying, that resonated with me. Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
You mean what I was saying about the handicap versus the challenge?
Not the challenge one, the one after that.
Oprah. Oh, when people show you who they are?
Yes. Okay. So both of those resonated with me. I'm not going to take long. I just wanted to say. For the first one, I've been having some issues at work, and I've been feeling like I'm back in high school dealing with those kind of personalities. They triggered a lot of childhood problems for me. And I, Unique, that's my rock. I have to go to her for help for a lot of different things, and she and I had real heartfelt conversations about it. But after some talking and some thinking, and I started actually praying literally every day the work situation, my own attitude started to change where I could see the value in this person who I felt was a nemesis. And then when I started to see her value, I felt like she started to include me more in conversations. And to make a long story short, we are getting along much, much better. My review went better than I expected. And even though I really don't like the fact that she has that much weight over what can happen on my future, I am glad that I did adjust my own self and stop fighting and took notice on what she does that makes people like her more, and that her work has less mistakes, and I'm trying to use that for my own good, if that's, use her example. So I want to say that I can testify to an attitude adjustment. Now, I'm still not all the way there, but I can actually see it, feel it. I can see the blessings coming from it. That's the first one. The second one is I know my ancestors have been protecting me, even though I really don't have the kind of relationship you guys have. I just think because of my culture with being from up north and having my southern folks not being connected to them so much, we lost whatever rituals we were supposed to keep. But my heart and my spirit is all there, so that's why I'm with you guys, and I love you guys because I use you guys for my spiritual growth. Now, I say that Amen. Because I know some old soul is definitely watching over me because there's been too many things that I have done that I shouldn't be around for. And that has put into my head a long time ago, when people tell you who they are, believe them. Because I tell people all the time, I'm an a-hole. I say that. I'm not going to lie. And I don't think it's a bad thing. It just it is what it is. And then later on, they're like, oh, no, no, you're not. But as time goes on, and then I say something or do something that has that quality, I said, I told you. And I don't mean anything bad by it. I'm just saying that's just my example. So when people say they don't do this or they don't like that or they don't do the whatever, whatever, I listen to them. I don't try to change somebody I don't know and make them into whatever I felt I had in my head about them. I have to watch them to say, yep, there goes that quality they're talking about. Now, can I deal with that going forward? Versus, oh, I got an angel in my life and come to find out it wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say those two things, that I love you guys. I love this ministry. This is my church. I'm just letting you know. And I just want to tell you that both of the things you said resonate with me, that I have had real life experiences on both levels.
Amen.
So I, what you say is 100% spot on.
Mm-hmm. Trust me. Trust and believe. Thank you so much for calling in. Love you, love you. I mean, we get together.
Love you, love you.
Okay, this is what we
now
do on Wednesday.
Seeing how this is Melissa's church, I'm going to take you there, okay?
Okay.
Now, Melissa, are you comfortable with being the a-hole? Is that what you wanted to grow up to be? I don't know of one child that grows up and says, I want to grow up and be a stone a-hole, you know? So let's do some personal inventory. Let's look at that behavior and see how we can kind of smooth that out. And not, first of all, do not affirm negative qualities. We want to take the high road. So we want to, you know, at some point, yes, I used to be a certain kind of person, but I have evolved, and maybe that's something that you're currently working on. But I wanted to reiterate that let's do away with the negative self-talk, because that'll block you. That'll block your relationships, that at work, in your personal private life. That is a show-enough blocker. So if this is your church, let me take you to church.
Okay.
Let's pray on that a-hole mentality and affirm who we really are deep down inside, that we want to come out. That's what we want to show. That's what's going to attract the good to us. That's what's going to bring us to, you know, our highest potential. That's what's going to attract the goodness to us, the good people, and all of the success and everything else that we want. So I'm hoping when we get to do our show on positive affirmations that you'll be able to come on and share with us your positive affirmation about who you really are.
A wonderful approach. We have something called precision of language. And it's definitely exactly what you just said. Being precise in our language, understanding that language, it really does change things. Your thoughts are turned into words, your words turn into action. And so we're all working on making sure that our words are positive and affirming and everything like that, because it does make a big difference. And that's what, you know, we're doing in encouraging words. We need these words. Some of these words are breathing life into us, you know. One thing that Sister Melissa said, that when she said it, I mean, I just walked down this street. Let me see, what night was that? It was either Sunday or Monday night. I am about to hit level 10. Call the paramedics and get them there before me. Okay, I'm mad. I'm super mad. And I'm mad at this one person in the world. This one person just irritating me. just being in my way, just being in my space, being in my life. I'm just mad. And then I was like, you know what? Hold on for a second. Is this person trying to make me mad? And I had to really kind of stop and think. And the answer to that is no. This sister is not trying to irritate me. She's not trying to hurt me. She doesn't have a vendetta against me. She's not after me. She's after something else. And we just happen to be in conflict with each other. But I don't have to see her as an enemy. In that 1 second, everything changed. Everything changed. The warpath, it went from a raging tornado slash hurricane slash earthquake to I can let that go. Because I was choosing to make this person an enemy, and they're not. And I was choosing to be mad, and I don't have to be. And I was choosing to fight a battle that wasn't even my fight to begin with. Let it all go. And once I was able to do that, this lion turned into, you know, a pussycat. You know, I was like, you know, and a very understandable pussycat. A real, I'm like, you know what? Unfortunately, we're not even that far different. We're not even that different. And so the only thing that had to change in that circumstance, the language didn't change, the truth didn't change. What changed was me and my attitude in the way that I chose to see things. And at that point, I was like, I'm choosing to let go of the fight. I don't even care about winning. I don't even care about losing. I'm letting go of the fight. I'm choosing not to fight. And so perception is everything. It's everything. Mm-hmm. And that's how my ancestors get my attention. Be encouraged, you know. And so understand, like I said, I just walked down that street a couple days ago. And I have decided to really be committed to peace. Commitment of peace has been working in some other areas. So that's that. I know. I'm going to say my next quote because the phone lines are lit up, and I know the second, if I don't say it now, somebody else is going to say it. And this is a Khalil Gibran quote, and that's why I have to say it quickly because I know it's only a matter of time before my serious scholars come out there and take it from me. And this one is from The Prophet, and it speaks about love. I'm not a mushy person. I don't think I am. But when I found this quote, I had a feeling of love in my heart that didn't make any sense. You know, it wasn't logical. It didn't follow a pattern that I was familiar with. I didn't even know how it was even going to be expressed, if it could be expressed. And this quote made so much sense, and it really helped me to understand what I would call, you know, the beginning of love. It really, really helped me at a point where I was in a place I didn't really even know what to do with. So the quote goes, "When you love, you should not say, 'God is in my heart,' but rather, 'I am in the heart of God.' And think not that you can direct the course of love. For love, if it finds you worthy, directs your course. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself." And this is from the Prophet book. And at that point, I was like, I get it. I so get it. Love is a very illogical thing. It does not have to make sense. And so, you know, when I'm going and I'm coaching people and I'm working with people and they're, you know, they're complaining about this out of control feeling, and I'm like, do you really think that you know enough to even direct love? You can't direct love. You're almost, we're almost captive to it. You know, what we have to do is just open ourselves to the experience, and then true love has its way with us. And, you know, we're better for it. But that quote meant so much to me at that time, and it really, really helped me to understand really how selfless love is. And it was good. And it's something that I keep in my mind, in my heart, in my understandings. It's something I try to teach, how we can't control one of the strongest forces in the universe. We have a hard time controlling our mouth and our own thoughts. How are you going to control an element? How are you going to control a force? So that's one of my favorites. Mama Khadija, I know that you are well-versed in your brand.
Yes. And that's one of my favorite. That book is broken down into probably 30 or 40 different topics, and love is one of them, and that's one of my favorites. But he's also one of my favorite authors. So, yeah, that is a heavy. And I guess with love, all we have to do is surrender. Like you said, we have to be open to receive it. And I think that's one of the reasons that a lot of people have never experienced love, because then it's happened early on in your life, whether it was as a child or whether it was, you know, as a young adult, that kind of made you close down. Then it's difficult to say, okay, you got to be vulnerable now. You've got to be open to this. You've got to surrender to love. A lot of people are afraid of that. But that's where we find and express, and that's how we express love.
Yeah, it can be surprising to you, and especially when you're an adult. You know, because by the time you reach adulthood, you pretty much think you know something, you know. And then to have to come and be like, wait a minute, I don't know this. I don't understand that. You know, it can be intimidating to really have to almost be childlike open. You know, that, oh, I can't do that, you know. And then, of course, the trust. And it really takes practice being in healthy relationships to even know how to open oneself up in such a fashion. It really does. It's not as easy as falling off a log, but when you fall, you'll understand, you know, you'll understand how easy it was once you do it. Well, I got a phone call here. My Florida crew, who I love so much, welcome to the show.
Evening, family.
Greetings.
Greetings,
Omi Shayon.
Greetings, Mother Khadija and Seven. How are we this evening?
Oh, blessed.
Glad to both
blessed.
Be here.
Yes.
I am blessed and here with us this evening. I'm looking up something. I should have done this before, but I thought about it again after what you were talking about. But briefly, I'll say you were talking about love, and one of the verses that I know, I think this is it. Just let me know if it's not. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? A yoke is a wooden bar that joins two oxen. And that was talking about unevening yoke. If, you know, people, you were saying that something might have happened in their life where they don't accept love and they go in a different direction with their love. And in spiritually, you should be somebody that you are equally on all planes, so that your relationship with each other is a good relationship. That was what I was trying to bring out with that. But Go ahead.
I said, I'm doing my amen choir. Go ahead.
Okay. So that was one of my quotes. But the main two, which I also think work together, is my mom always used to say to my oldest son, and I realize it now, you are your own worst enemy. He can do the most weirdest stuff and think it's all right and, you know, don't, you know, give it a second thought. Oh, no, that's fine. We can handle that. We can do this, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, baby cakes, it ain't going to work. Think about it, you know, really think about it, which also works hand in hand with don't put all your eggs in one basket. And that was directed at me a couple of times because I had high aspirations and, you know, you always want to do better for yourself and your family. But you got to look at it realistically and say, well, let's do it 1, 2, 3. Just don't jump from 1 to 5 and, you know, you think them eggs aren't going to break on you. So you have to learn to take the little steps, look at everything, make sure you all your eggs are in a row, as we say, and work it from there. So those are what I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And how it affected my life.
Mhm. Yep. I understand. I've seen it. I've seen people be their own worst enemy. And you're sitting there like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. But it's definitely something that I don't understand why, you know, but I see it. Especially with the men folk. And men, y'all can press one and say what you want to say, but, you know, I know that, you know, they tend to be, you know, so stubborn and sometimes bent on things, even if they know it's not in their best interest, they just still bent on it, you know, so, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think we have to look beneath the surface to find out why someone is bent on doing something that even they know is not in their best interest. So it's not really that, you know, them not being able to, say, commit, them not being able to move forward with a certain thing, that's only a symptom. What's really going on underneath?
Right.
And then we can, once we get to the root of the situation, then we can begin to make some changes. But as long as we say argue or debate or fuss or become disappointed or upset about the symptom, then it's never going to be resolved because we haven't really gotten to the problem yet.
That's right.
A lot of those issues you got to dig for, okay? So what's really underneath all of that? And that's where we will begin our healing, when we can go beneath the surface and get to the root of things.
How about this? I know people that will try to throw you off course and say, hey, this is a problem, when they know why it's a problem, but hey, X is my problem. And I'm like, why are you intentionally trying to throw me off your problem? You know, not only do people play head games with themselves, but they also, you know, with other people around them. You know, they'll go to the doctor. Oh, it doesn't really hurt. Knowing they're in pain, you know. I don't know why people want to, they've learned how to hide pain, mask pain, try to say it's one thing and it's not, you know. So you are correct. They don't understand that by trying to hide and mask, what they're doing really is being their own worst enemy. You know, they are plotting against themselves when they're not open and honest about where the problem is. They are literally working against themselves.
Right. Yeah.
Well, if it happens continuously, more than likely that's an indication that they're not ready. And you can't be ready if you keep avoiding it. Now, if you say, okay, I'm going to deal with this, or although it's going to really challenge me, it's going to push me to the limit, whatever, whatever, then, okay, that person is ready. But if they continue to put the mask up, if they continue to make excuses, if they continue to do all of those things, that if they continue to pick fights about something that's not even relevant, you know,
okay,
that's called diversion. Okay, so if that kind of behavior is happening, then that only means that they're not ready, and it's time for you to give them the space so they can make whatever preparations they need to make to get ready.
And, you know,
because
that
when we mentioned about acknowledgement being the, you know, the first step, the healing. When we had the healing program, what, 3-4 weeks ago, that was the very first step, acknowledging that you have something that needs to be fixed. You need a healing. Now, if you don't acknowledge that, I mean, everything
right.
else is, you know, it's a moot a situation. It's a moot issue. The first step
that's
is
right.
acknowledging.
And, you know, that's hard for people, especially intuitives or psychics or mediums, when I can see what the problem is, and then you're like, the problem's right here. And they're like, no, that's not a problem. And I'm like, yeah, it is. That's not a problem. It's the problem. What are you talking about? And no,
mm-hmm.
that's not a problem. And it is super challenging for, you know, the people that are loving you, trying to love you through the problem. But what you said, Mama Khadija, is 100% correct. We have to allow each person to work through their problem, you know. And
mm-hmm.
how can we cheer gently on the sidelines? How can we do that, you know? How do we be supportive without, like, picking it up our own selves and just doing it? Not just do it real quick.
First of all, you're not going to be able to do it quick or long term. It's not going to happen. That is that person's individual destiny and journey in this life, and they have to do it. You can't do it. No one can do it for you. Like, no one can live your life for you. No one
right.
can really solve your problems for you. You have to put in, again, here we go with putting in the work. You've got to put in the work. Now, you might be able to give that person some tips on how to get to the root, you know, how to kind of pull off some of those outer layers, because more than likely, those outer layers have become that person's shell. So when
yeah.
I talk about getting brutally honest and getting naked, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking down the mask. I'm talking about shedding those outer layers, whatever you need to do to get naked, meaning
mm-hmm.
to get brutally honest, to get in touch with the core of you. And
mm-hmm.
there are steps that you can take to get there. But even in taking those steps, it takes a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of support. So if you come in contact with a friend, a client, a patient, or whatever that's not willing to go through those steps, then you just deal with the helmet that they put on. You just deal with that shell that they've just put on, because that's not the problem. That's really not the problem. And a lot of times
right.
when people approach us with negativity, they're coming from it's coming from inside, but it's, you know, it's basically a way to deflect and to, you know, to spew whatever to keep you away from them. A lot
That's right.
of the negativity that we experience from others is a move to deflect. And one
it almost
person
the negativity.
Yeah, of course it's the shell. It's the shell.
Yes.
They don't want
yes.
you to get down to the root. They don't want you to get down to that real problem. They want you to still deal with the outside, even when you know the outside is just a symptom. It's not the problem.
Right.
And I think here in Western society, that's what we do. We treat symptoms, whether it's medical, whether it's emotional or whatever, and we never really get down to the real root. And that's one reason I am such a supporter of the 12-step program, because you got to get naked. You got to get down to the root. And right up front, they'll tell you, alcoholism, your drug abuse, whatever, whatever, is just a symptom of a sore or a wound that's deep down inside. And those 12 steps will take you to that journey. But there are other ways, too. There are other ways to get through that journey. But, we have to stop treating the symptoms, and we have to stop reacting to symptoms. We have to stop reacting to the deflection.
That's right.
You know, and there's a saying also, that hurt people.
I'm just saying, we take it so personal. We take it so, so personal.
Yeah,
but the fact is, hurt people, you know, and so it's almost like that's all that can be produced at that moment. While you're in a place of hurt, all you're going to produce is more hurt, because
more
that's
hurt.
Where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Omi Shane, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Hold on. All right, go ahead. Say it again, honey.
Oh, I was saying, yes, you know, it brings a new perspective out for me. Looking at a different way, but, you know, like I've been talking to Mother Khadija, what's the word she was using? Anyway, I'm trying to distance myself from this enabler, distance myself from the situation, and let them see for themselves how to handle the situation.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was an excellent opportunity to kind of really go into understanding more about, you know, these sayings. But I have another one that I'm going to share. Mama, do you have another quote that you want to share before I go into mine?
Oh, I've got so many. Just go ahead and share yours.
Okay.
I've lived a little longer than you.
Mine, it was amazing. When I sat down, I was like, okay, what really has made a difference in my life? What type of, like, sayings, quotes really touched me? And they all seem to be about love and joy. And like I said, I didn't think I was a mushy person, but those are the things that touched me. So this one is about joy. It says, our hearts are made for joy. Our hearts were made to enjoy the one who created them. Too deeply planted to be affected by the ups and downs of life, this joy is a knowing and a being known by our Creator. He sets our hearts alight with radiant joy. And, of course, if you have had two conversations with me, I always talk about God's love. God's love is so personal to me. It is, to me, what makes the earth spin. It's what makes the sun continue to, you know, be the center. I mean, it is everything. God's love justifies everything. When there is nothing else, there is God's love. And that means so much, and it touches me to know that out of everything in the world that to be done, that he is doing, that he could be doing, to know that love and joy extends to me, that's everything for me. It really, really is. And so a lot of times, and that has been probably outside of knowing the love of my mother, outside of knowing the love that I've had in mothering my children, having God's love and knowing that it's there and knowing that it's not going anywhere, that he loves me even though I'm struggling and I'm not perfect. I'm not beginning to be perfect. but just knowing it's there for me is everything for me. And that's why, you know, that's one of my favorite quotes is knowing and feeling and expressing God's love in my life. So that was a quote for me. And any quote that deals with God's love probably got my vote twice, because I just, it's something that we can't get enough of. You know, that love right there, that's like the coal to a train. You know, we need that. That's how we're going to run. That's how we operate.
Now, what do you say to the person who is hungry, who is homeless, who has some problems, whether it's mental health problems or physical problems, that has completely detached from family and has no friends?
I mean, God loves you no matter what, no matter where you are. God's love is never far from you, never. And to me, that has helped me in my life. You know, when there are places where I'm like, my family would not understand this, but God is right here. God is watching me, so I'm okay. You know, when you think no one in the world understands, when you think no one in the world is going to get you or hasn't gotten you, when you think no one could love you, God's love is always there for you. And when you have nothing else, that's everything. When you have everything, it's everything. But when you've been in those places when you don't know how you're going to make it through the night or through this situation, is God's love, to me, is the only thing that can bring you back from that.
Oh, no doubt about that. But that is because you have that understanding, because you already have a foundation that is rooted in a relationship with God. That's your foundation. So no matter what is thrown at you in this life, you're going to be able to deal with it, because you know that God is never far from you. You know that, you know, God is in you and you are in God. So I can understand your viewpoint on all of this, but for someone who does not have that relationship, that is a very difficult situation to come from. And
absolutely,
I would say that what we have to do in cases like that, because I had I've worked with a number of people, but recently a sister who was angry with God, did not want a relationship with God. She was angry because of something that happened in her life that, you know, she does not understand. To this day, she doesn't understand it. But my approach in dealing with her as a coach was, okay, we've got to develop a relationship. Because it's only when you have that relationship that you can even see God, that you can feel God. Unless something just comes out of the sky and, like, bonks you over the head or whatever. But for most of us, that relationship, and it doesn't have to be much. Like, the Bible talks about a mustard seed, which is extremely small.
Yeah.
Just a little teeny bit of light. We have to grow that. We have to cultivate that, which takes me to my next quote. I have this quote hanging up in my house because it just really touched me. It was given to me by my son-in-law, and I just love it. He who does not cultivate his field will die of hunger. And when I read this and when I see this, it just doesn't speak of cultivating the earth, like growing crops and whatnot.
Right.
What are you? We are all cultivating something. We are all growing something, whether it's positivity, whether it's negativity, whether it's, you know, apathy, whether it's, you know,
hatred, whatever it is, we are all cultivating something.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this quote speaks to cultivating something positive.
That's right.
But just in terms of your life's goals, you know, what are you doing to cultivate those goals? Okay? Relationships. What are you doing to cultivate? And by cultivate, it's basic. We're talking about planting a seed. Okay, this is what I want, a marriage, whatever. Watering it, putting it in the proper environment, making sure it's getting enough, you know, sunlight and all like that, to make it grow so that you can have a harvest. If you don't cultivate your field, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your career, whether it's your business, whatever it may be, a friendship, then you'll die of hunger, meaning the crop will die.
Amen.
So
Amen.
That quote, it just, you know, whenever I come into my back door, whenever I go out my back door, I see that quote. And I have to think, what am I cultivating? What did I cultivate today?
Mm-hmm.
Did I water that seed?
Okay. Amen. Amen. And that means a lot to me, because not only in our personal relationships, business relationships, sisterhood, mentors, brotherhood, whatever you want to be into, we don't really cultivate one another. We don't cultivate ourselves. You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't nurture
mm-hmm.
ourselves. We don't self-care. We don't, you know, there's so much that we are lacking when it comes to caring for ourselves, that it really becomes a challenge to begin to even think about caring for someone else. And so there is so, you know, we become very one-sided, selfish, however you want to use the words, but we have to begin to build and grow and develop past that. We have to really begin to get into a place where we are intentionally building, growing, nurturing these seeds that are with us. You know, I have this idea of 100 points of light. Each person is responsible for lighting and inspiring 100 other lights. Taking your light, your flame, and allowing someone else to have a light from your light is a very selfless act. It takes nothing from you. And someone else's light will shine because you were giving of yourself. And we all will do that in our life, but we don't know who these 100 people are. We don't know when they're going to need our light. We just have to be open to sharing and giving. And we have to do that by cultivating. We have to keep our own light strong enough so that we can help jumpstart someone else's light. We have to, you know, there's so many different steps to this that cultivating is so pivotal in our own selves, in our groups that we're in our families. We need that. We need that. So,
mm-hmm.
amen, I'm glad you shared that. I see that all the time. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
having it explained, you know, it really makes, it's a great question. What have you cultivated? Farmers don't go out, plant a seed, and then come back in 6 months, okay?
That's constantly
weeding, nurturing, chasing away the animals, pruning, this, that, and the other. It's a complete process that's not done until the fruit is up. So, you know, we have to get into that habit of knowing that the day that we plant the seed is not the day we'll see the fruit. You know, we have to begin to understand there's a process.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love me. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Let me the phone lines. I want to grab another caller if I can. Let me see. Welcome to the show. Greetings. I can hear you a little bit. Are you on mute? They might just be listening in the background.
See my boat. Going on.
So we'll come back. Hold on for a second. I think this is my sister Makita going to share with us for a moment. Greetings.
Greetings. Hey, Mama Kay.
Greetings.
Hey,
greetings.
As always, a wonderful topic. I wanted to share a quote that I love, and it's in 2 Corinthians, and I just can't remember the right verse right now, but it basically states that everything must be done in decency and in order,
mm-hmm.
and that has helped me in the way that I govern myself and the things that I do. And it doesn't mean that I don't get out of order sometimes, but that quote will bring me back to where I need to be. Because I have things to accomplish and I have to practice what I preach. So if I'm out here saying something and my actions are not congruent with what I'm saying, then I'm living a lie. So I constantly reflect back to that. Another one that I use a lot, and I didn't realize just how much I said it until someone else said it. They were mocking me, and I was like, what? They were like, oh, as you always say, give thanks and praise. And I was like, I thought about it. I must have said it about 6 times. Like, I was like, yeah, because there's always someone else out there that's worse off than me. Like, okay, I might have a situation with a vehicle and can't drive myself, but I did have a ride. So it was like, okay, well, give thanks for that, because even though it might not have been the most comfortable situation, I was still able to maintain that job because of that. So I did, you know, you give thanks and praise for those things, but apparently I say it a whole lot, but it's fine. It works for me. It works for me, and it's a constant reminder of where you were and where you are now and where I aspire to be. So even when I pour my libations, I give thanks for what has been done, what's currently being done for me, and what will be done in the future. So I'm very grateful for that. And there have been situations where I only have two things to rely on, and that's faith and favor. I have faith that the Most High God has covered, and my ancestors, I'm standing on their shoulders and the legacies that they've left. And I pray that I planted enough good seeds that I got a little something in the favor bank. So I was like, that's all I have. I've had people laughing, like, you know, I'm like, all these different things are going on, and I'm like, yeah, but the lesson isn't always for me, or even the other person. Sometimes it's someone on the outside looking in. Even a recent situation happened, and one of my brothers was like, I'm surprised at how you're handling it. I was like, well, what was I supposed to do? Oh, I would have been like this, or I would have been like that. I said, well, maybe the lesson is for you, and I need you to get it because I'm tired.
Okay.
I need you to get this lesson so I can get through with this, because I've been here and done this, and I really just was trying to figure out why I was going through it again. And if there was nothing else for you to take that I actually do practice what I preach, then okay.
That's
and
right.
It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It just means that I know there are things that I need to do, and I have to rely on that faith and favor, because how can I do all the things that I'm doing and not believe myself? It just doesn't work that way. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. You know, everything isn't perfect, no, but I got faith and favor, and I'm going to keep it moving. I have to. So I'm very grateful for those things. You know,
amen.
And as always, I thank y'all for the platform. I was feeling some kind of way last week. I was like, oh, my goodness, I didn't get my dose. But I give thanks and praise. Everything is okay today. Good thanks. So
we had to go
I thank you, too beautiful. Excuse me?
We had to go through our choppy beginning, but it all turned out. It all turned out. Hold on right there for just a second, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mama Khadija. Goodness, this has been such a wonderful show. We really needed to stop and sit back and allow these words of encouragement to come forward. I was sitting here laughing that Sister Makita was speaking, because she says that thanks and give thanks and praise all the time, all the time, all
mm-hmm.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point, well, you know me, I'll break out in a prayer. Bible says, now, I grew up Islamic and I'm a spiritualist, but I got that Bible, okay? I've learned some things in my years being on this earth. And so I got this quote, I got that quote. Keeping God's words and promises close to your mouth and your head is truly a blessing for you. It keeps you in that prayerful state. It allows your attitude to be adjusted before the problem even gets all the way over there to you. You know, before the problem even finds itself at your door, there's already a barrier of protection up there. One of the first prayers that my youngest child learned, and he learned from his grandmother, was put a bubble of protection around me. And I was like, and I mean, it's a 3-minute prayer, but that's the first part of it. And I always use, as I was listening to him practice and everything else, like then I'm like, a bubble of protection, you know, I would always think, a bubble of protection. We all need a bubble of protection around us to have, you know, mm-hmm. those things put in place so that we don't even have to feel them. They'll bounce right off my bubble, you know what I'm saying? So this has been a very joyful show for me because I love talking about God and I love hearing how these words keep us in this prayerful state and reminded about God's grace and favor. Lord knows we all need it. I need two on Wednesdays because Wednesday that fast they get you. But Mama Khadija, is there anything that you want to say? We're moving into my favorite part of the show, the prayer portion. Mama Khadija,
okay.
Is there anything that you want to share?
Yes, I just want to share one last thing, and I'll share just a brief story about it. One of the things that I've been instrumental and very grateful for being a part of is a program called the Morning Camp. And that's basically where we allow people, encourage people, and support them through a grieving, mourning, purging weekend. And we had a young sister by the name of Khadija who was experiencing her first morning camp, working it as a towel girl. And what I had to tell her, end of that, because I could see that emotionally, now this is high energy. This is a high, very intense, and for some people it can almost be scary. Well, it can be scary. Because if you're not used to people expressing their deepest emotions and going into that place where there's so much pain, it can be kind of frightening. So, you know, I had to share this with her, and I will share this with you, Sister Makita, and any of the other counselors, life coaches, therapists, people in the medical profession, anyone who considers themselves one of God's helpers, and that is, distance yourself from the results.
Mm-hmm.
Distance mm-hmm. yourself from the results. If you are a teacher, if you are a medical professional, if you're a life coach, whatever it is, all you can do is assist, facilitate, you know, encourage, and all of that. Give them all the tips. Give out tools. But guess what? You have to distance yourself from the results because
Amen.
Everything else is up to them. Everything
mm-hmm.
else is up to them. This is your journey. This is your process. I'm here to assist, to facilitate, to encourage, to give you tools that you need, and the rest is up to you. Don't get caught up on other people's journey.
Mm.
You can only assist them through that process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that was towel girl status. That was one of the first ones. And I saw that play out so many times. And, you know, you develop a little callus after a second. But calluses aren't bad. What they do is help to protect raw energy, raw skin, you know, and they help to build up a muscle there so that you're not affected by every little rub and flow. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I remember that clearly, for that mm-hmm. clearly, like it was yesterday, and I think it was 13 years ago, but
mm-hmm.
it was real then, it's real now.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's something you've got to know. You've
mm-hmm.
got to know. And the way that I saw it was I had to allow them the victory of getting through their own stuff. If I'm doing
mm-hmm.
the work, then I get the victory. So, and I didn't want to
mm-hmm.
ever rob someone of their opportunities. So that's how I was able to say, hey, if I don't pull back, they don't get the opportunity to shine, and they don't get the opportunity to have the full experience and the victory. So, and even now, I have no problem now. I'm not putting nobody on my back. I might put you in a wagon, but I'm not going to put you on my back. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to do the work. And when you get the victory, I'm going to clap for you and mean it. So, amen. Amen. Well, Mama Khadija, I don't know how this time just creeps away. You know, we just started the show and got everything situated, and already it's time for the prayer moment, but this
mm-hmm.
is my absolute favorite part of the show. This is when we have a guest prayer come on and just share their words with us. And, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I'm thankful to everyone that has come on and shared their prayer with us, because it gives us more exposure, and it just gives us the opportunity to lift his name up again. And any and every time we can do that is a blessed moment. So I'm not going to wait any longer. Greetings.
Greetings. Give thanks and
All
praise
right.
to the Most High, for life, for health, and for strength. For without you, we are nothing, but through you, we can accomplish all things. And for that, I thank and I praise you. I give thanks and praise to my ancestors as we stand on their shoulders, as we continue to move forward and accomplish the things that you set forth for us to accomplish. I thank you for that. I give thanks and praise for the Orishas as we're learning and we're calling on you and we're asking that your energy be channeled through us and flow through us so that we can be the best version of ourselves. For that, I thank and I praise you. Right here, right now, I lift you up, and I pray for continued guidance, continued protection, continued understanding for those things that we need so that we can move forward, for the understanding of the things that we can't change so we can stand still. Sometimes we want to move so quick that we miss the entire lesson that is there for us, or miss the fact that we're being used as a vessel for a lesson for someone else. So I pray for guidance in that area, that we're able to grow. I'm praying for abundance for all of us when it comes to our spirituality, that we develop our personal relationships. I pray for abundance when it comes to our health, that we're doing the things that we need to do to strengthen this vessel that we've been blessed with temporarily. I pray for continued abundance when it comes to our emotional strength, because we take on so much that we have to know how to balance it. So I'm praying for that abundance there. I pray for financial blessings and abundance, that all of your soldiers are able to do what they need to do without fear, and that they do operate on that faith and that favor because they're doing your will and your way. I give thanks and praise for the support system, because we all need it. Whether we're being a supporter or we're being supported, the support system is essential to our growth and our balance. So we pray for overstanding and understanding in that area so we know our role and we can continue to be the cheerleader to people that need to be cheered, and we can continue to accept the encouragement from others when we need to be encouraged. Sometimes just a kind word can give us the strength to do what we did magnified. Sometimes people may see the smile and don't realize all the pain that you've seen, all the pain that you're enduring. Because they see the smile, they think everything is okay. Because they see the butterfly and they adore the butterfly, they forget that you were once a caterpillar, busy dodging for your life, just making it through. And there are times when you have to isolate yourself so you can come back and be stronger and turn into that beautiful butterfly that the Most High set out for you to be. I pray for strength in all these areas of our lives and just continued growth, because every day is a teachable moment. Every situation is a teachable moment. And we pray that we're able to be receptive and understand those lessons and take those lessons and grow with it. Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe.
Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe.